From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. La Crosse County's Heroin and Illicit Drug Task Force issued a number of draft recommendations last week that they believe will help the community cut back on and hopefully put an end to heroin addiction in our community. Our conversation on the task force's recommendations continue. My guests today are Keith Lease. He's chair of the Heroin Task Force and executive director of Cooley Council on Addictions. Dr. Chris Eberline is emergency medicine physician with Gunderson Health System and medical director for EMS services in our region. And Emily Ladone, she's a member of the Heroin Task Force also and a recovering heroin addict. So the next recommendation that we have to touch on is improving mental health care. I'm wondering, why is this one of the major recommendations of the group, Keith?
Well, it's mental health and substance abuse challenges go hand in hand. Oftentimes, people will use substances as a coping mechanism for anxiety or depression, things of that nature. And if we can help people deal with their mental health challenges, especially early on, teach them healthy ways of how to overcome that, the shortcut way of substances becomes less appealing. Because unfortunately, substances are effective in the short term. Unfortunately, they end up increasing some of the symptoms and making them worse down the road. But that initial relief is really yeah, it's pretty significant. And so what we want to do is be able to help people deal with their mental health challenges early and often so that it doesn't lead into substance abuse. And then if they do have an addiction that goes along with it, if we can treat them both at the same time, it improves the outcome significantly. So we really wanted to make sure that that was a part of the equation. This whole task force from the beginning looked at things as a community issue, a well-rounded issue, and this is another way to do that, removing it from that silo, so to speak.
And Dr. Eberline, I know you're working more on the emergency response side of things, but I mean, does this involve hospitals, the mental health intervention?
Well, yeah. One thing that we are doing, and I think both hospitals in town here are doing, is when someone comes in with an overdose, before they go, we at least try to get them, have our social worker meet with them, and give them some options as far as getting treatment and getting help with their mental health problems that ultimately brought them there. Some are willing to hear it at the time, others aren't. But, you know, like Emily said before, planting those seeds for later is sometimes what you need to do.
One of the next umbrellas, I guess, recommendations is improving overdose interventions. And maybe one of the biggest players in this is access to Narcan. Dr. Eberline, can you talk about what exactly Narcan is?
Sure. So the death from an overdose of heroin comes when the heroin actually shuts down your respiratory drive and you stop breathing. Narcan is a shorter acting. It's a antagonist to that, and it will clear off the receptors in your brain so you start breathing again. It used to be a higher level emergency medical service drug. Tri-State was the only one that used to carry it. There was a pilot program this last winter that started that allowed La Crosse Fire and Onalaska Fire to apply, and we got them the ability to carry it. So that is one, because the sooner you can get that drug to people, the higher likelihood that they'll start breathing and not die from this overdose. That in addition to good basic life support, airway management is what's going to save people. Along with that, letting people know that there is an antidote for this to help reverse those effects in the community, I think it makes it more likely people will call if someone's overdosed, which is another thing that's important. And so that's really where we're working at getting that throughout the community. And soon, hopefully this summer, we'll be able to give that to all first responder agencies, not just La Crosse Fire and Onalaska Fire, but all the surrounding first responder agencies will be able to carry it and be able to get on scene faster with this drug.
I mean, this seems like a move that is pretty significant.
Absolutely.
Can you kind of expand on it a little more, Keith? I mean, yes, the purpose is to prevent death, but I mean, is this could be almost a game changer in a way?
I think so, because, you know, if somebody dies, you lose the ability for them to make changes. And it's people will go on both sides of that. But ultimately, as far as we're concerned, saving lives is, you know, it's a priority. It's the number one. So and when we can do that, you know, there is no crystal ball. And so there's no telling when we save a life what that person is capable of doing. When you look back at so many recovering addicts and you look at how many times they came close to near death, but they survived that, and now they're doing amazing things in the community, making impacts that we couldn't have foreseen when they were using that, you know, people would have never saw coming. And so to be able to remove, or to be able to get to the point where we have zero deaths, I think it's a lofty goal, but it's, you know, it can be achievable. And the impact that it has, I don't think there's any way that we could figure that out exactly.
That's what I was wondering about, that, because the ultimate goal is to prevent any sort of death. But I mean, will it ever get to a point when heroin use just completely ends in La Crosse County?
No, I don't think that we'll ever. I can't foresee a way that we would ever get to a point where nobody is abusing substances, including heroin. But we can reduce it significantly. We know we can do that, and we can get to a point where people aren't dying from it. You know, so is it realistic to think that we can just, that this will completely go away? I think that's probably unrealistic, but I think we can get to a point where our brothers and sisters, our sons and daughters aren't dying from it. And that's a big deal.
Another aspect of the Improve Overdose Interventions recommendation is the needle exchange program. And I believe the AIDS Resource Center here in La Crosse, they've been really instrumental in making sure that, you know, people are getting clean needles and whatnot.
If I may, I first heard about Narcan through the AIDS Resource Center.
Right, because they provide Narcan to people who are using.
Fortunately, I never had to give it to anybody or take it myself. Actually, my concern with Narcan at first was addicts might think, oh, I can do all the heroin I want, and then I can just shoot myself up, or somebody can shoot me up with Narcan and it'll be fine. Well, I brought that up. I was talking with somebody about it, and they said, well, you know, it's not an awesome experience. You know, it doesn't feel good to have been shot up with Narcan and, you know, waking up and going, holy crap, I almost died. Right. Could be a life changer for a lot of people, and I'm sure it has been. but, yeah, the AIDS Resource Center, I was able to utilize their services a lot, and I was really grateful.
And this was pretty – I mean, the numbers are pretty staggering. At the AIDS Resource Center of La Crosse – in 2013, they distributed almost 92,000 clean needles to people, which, that's huge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about, because some people may say, you know, why would they even be giving out clean needles? What is the importance of having that within the community?
Mm-hmm. And that's a question that we had talked about. And along with, you know, I just read in the paper that the fire department is, now that the snow is melting, finding stray needles. And that's something that we want to address too. Ultimately, it comes down to that public health model. This is a public health issue. By providing those clean needles, we're reducing the hepatitis issue. We're reducing HIV, AIDS. Again, we're keeping preventing disease and infections from being spread. And Dr. Eberlein could probably talk more about this, but it really comes down to the public health and mitigating some of those major health concerns. We need to do a better job of providing places, safe places for needles, those sharps containers. You know, you see them at certain gas stations, and sometimes they can be full to the brim. You know, we need to have more of those out there so that people aren't sticking them in parking ramps or you know, in parks and things like that. So we need to do a better job of collecting them, but I don't think that's a reason to not distribute them, because if somebody gets HIV from this, and it doesn't stay within IV users, right? So that person contracts HIV from a needle, and then he goes to a college party and has unprotected sex, you know, with somebody who's never done anything but have a beer. Now that person has HIV. And you know, I don't mean to use that as a scare tactic, but, it really is just a public health issue that we're able to address in this way. And the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin does a tremendous job with that.
Dr. Ebeline, do you want to add on to anything that Keith talked about?
It's been pretty well shown that needle exchanges do reduce the incidence of some of these very severe diseases. And it's something that, you know, it's unfortunately this is a consequence of having that. But, you know, this should be more solvable than treating people with these diseases. So I think it's just something as a community we'll just have to look at ways to solve.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, I'm talking with members of La Crosse County's Heroin Task Force, who issued a number of draft recommendations last week. My guests are Dr. Chris Ebeline. He's an emergency medicine physician with Gunderson Health System and medical director for EMS services in the region. Keith Lease is chair of the Heroin Task Force and executive director of Cooley Council on Addictions. And Emily Ladone is a recovering heroin addict. I'm wondering about cost issues because, Keith, as you talked about, generally with any sort of addiction recovery, money can be short. Is there funding that will keep the efforts of the task force going? Are you all seeking grants for different programs? How much is this? What's the bill you're looking at, I guess?
Well, we were initially funded. We had one person who was able to be funded for 10 hours a week through the county, and that was Al Bliss, and that was a tremendous help.
He kept a lot of the records.
Al put in just a tremendous amount of work. Everybody else has volunteering their time, and with these subcommittees right now, we don't have funding. It's being integrated into, you know, existing coalitions, or like for me, it's a part of Cooley Council's mission. So we'll send me to these meetings and work with what we can. We also do some prevention work. Gunderson Lutheran is able to provide time for their employees to come and participate. So it's we don't have any outside funding right now. It's not saying that we're not looking at it. We're always looking for different funding options. But right now, this is literally a grassroots movement of organizations in this community working together and pitching in to make this happen. So
you mentioned the subgroups and the Heroin Task Force. Your work is not done. I believe you're meeting at the end of May. But in the meantime, and probably for the foreseeable future, you're breaking up into these subgroups that look at each of these different recommendations. Emily, you're working with the Substance Abuse Prevention Group. Keith, you're chairing the Early Intervention to Treatment and Recovery Group. And Dr. Ebeline, you're chairing the Improve Overdose Interventions Group. I'm wondering if you can each just maybe talk about these different groups. And obviously, you all have to get together still and really define the goals, which some are laid out. But Emily, what are you most looking forward to within your group?
Well, I think about after my third or fourth meeting with the Heroin Task Force Committee, I felt like it was laid on my heart, like go to the schools and talk to the kids. And so that was something that I brought up repeatedly. And it just kind of fell into place when I, you know, found this subcommittee, and I just felt drawn to it. And I'm really excited to be working with other people on that committee. And what we're first trying to do, we've kind of put together, you know, a list of questions to go into the schools, talk to different staff people, whether it's the counselor or the principal, what have you, just to get an idea of what they do have within their schools, you know, what tactics they're using. And I just want to say, to put this out there, that we're not coming in to say, your way isn't working, you suck. It's more of like, hey, let's work together and really try to find a positive solution here and try different things. So I'm really excited about it.
And you already have talked with at least one school, I know for sure.
I went into the Bangor High School. I talked to kids ranging from ages 14 to 18.
And just sharing your story?
Yeah, just shared my story. And I think it was really impactful. It was really comfortable to talk to them. I've talked to other groups before, and I felt more nervous, but I felt like they were really soaking in what I was saying to them, and it made me feel really good that, you know, these kids want to know what's out there, what's different, and what's not good, and yeah.
And do students then come to you with questions?
Some students did, yes. I had one kid who kind of just started telling me his whole story about his family and all these struggles, and that was great. And I had a couple other kids with, you know, questions afterwards, and yeah, it was awesome.
And Keith, your group is the Early Intervention to Treatment and Recovery. Beyond some of the goals, what are you most looking forward to accomplishing within this group?
Well, I guess the loftiest of goals is to make sure that everybody who needs treatment gets treatment for as long as they need it. That's a huge, huge uphill battle, and I don't know that we'll ever get there, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't work towards that. So there's a lot of different ways to do that, and we're going to explore as many of them as we can.
And Dr. Eberlein, improve overdose interventions. We talked about Narcan, but what else?
Yeah, get Narcan throughout the first responder agencies. I think that's going to be a big step, and as soon as it goes to state approval, after this pilot program, that should happen. And then getting the providers more knowledgeable on the prescription drug database and more knowledgeable on the issue that's at hand in our city.
So with the heroin task force, I know you look towards, was it Madison or Dane County, at some of the models that they've been doing in really tackling heroin use in the community. But, I mean, do you feel like what's going on here in La Crosse is unique? Are there other people that are now looking to La Crosse and seeing what you all are working on?
Well, we haven't had any requests to go to other communities yet. We were able to bring in Dane County and talk about their heroin task force and what they did as a community. We were able to have the police chief from Green Bay and Brown County come in and talk about what they did. And so, you know, there are programs out there that we've modeled this after and adapted it to La Crosse. Now, La Crosse is kind of a common size area with a mix between, you know, metro and rural areas. And so in that way, I think that we could be a model for other areas. I think the wide range of professionals and people in the community that we've brought together for the task force and then being able to split into those subgroups, I think it's a sustainable model that people can look at implementing in their communities.
A lot of discussions, or when people think and talk about heroin, they talk about the stigma that surrounds addiction and heroin use. But it seems like over this last year, you know, we're hearing discussions about heroin use within La Crosse County as a result of the La Crosse County Heroin Task Force. People are talking about it in the state capitol with Representative Nygren's different heroin bills. You know, maybe more people are talking about it around the dinner table. But do you think having these conversations going is one of the biggest first steps in really tackling the issue?
Absolutely.
Do you want to elaborate on that a little more?
It's a community issue, and the more that we talk about this and get the information out to the people that this is a problem, the more people in the community can pitch in and help make a difference. We have to work together.
Do you feel like maybe there is a mind shift when it comes to addiction, or we still have some work to do when it comes to that?
We definitely have some work to do, but it is starting to shift. You know, addiction is like the thing that we want to sweep it underneath the rug. You know, it's because a person can't develop an addiction unless they take that substance for the first time themselves often. And so people will use that as a way of saying, well, it's your fault. And that removes the burden from us as a community in dealing with that. And so having these discussions and talking about, you know, that it is a brain disease and people can get better, but they need help. They need the support. This is a community-wide public health issue. You know, I think those conversations are all important. We don't turn people on to using drugs by talking about them like in this way. It's only going to benefit us. And I think we're starting to realize that and come to that conclusion.
Yeah, this is not a problem that the task force can solve by itself. We need the whole community to help us out to do this. As basic as knowing it's a problem and getting rid of your prescriptions that you're not using your medicine cabinet, to talking to your friends and family about the problem and
referring those at the dinner table.
Yeah, exactly. Referring those that need help to get help. that's where we have to go.
So you sort of touched on my final question. What can the average, in quotes, person do in La Crosse to really tackle this? And I almost want to break it up into two groups. Someone who is connected to someone who has a loved one who is addicted to heroin, and maybe someone who doesn't have any experience with someone who's addicted. What can they do? Keith, if you want to start, you're nodding your head in enthusiasm.
Yeah, there are a lot of programs and ways that people can go about helping. For loved ones, I always tell people when they call people with addictions, they have defenses around their using. Many times they know what they're doing is not okay, or they're not okay with what they're doing, and so they have defenses built up around that. And so it's very difficult to have that conversation without raising those defenses and pushing people further away. And so what I tell people, is your situation the best. But try to come at it using the I statements. This is what I'm seeing. This is how I feel. This is what I see. This is what I'm scared of. And this is what I'm willing to do to help. Because a person can't argue how you feel. It's a difficult conversation to have. If you'd like some more help with that, you can call. Both of the hospitals have behavioral health units. We get some funding through the United Way to do crisis work with families and individuals. So you can call Cooley Council on addictions. There is help out there. There's more to do than just bang your head out up against a wall. There's ways that we can. There's no magic bullet. But there's ways that we can help speed that process along.
Emily, I don't know if you want to quickly add any.
Keith said it really. Talk about it. Talk about your feelings. Use I statements. Sometimes it can be a really powerless situation, but be real.
And Dr. Eberlein, do you have any quick final?
Sure. It's not a hopeless situation we're facing as a community. We can make a big difference on this. We're just gonna have to work together and. Work towards accomplishing these goals, but it's going to be difficult, but it's definitely not hopeless.
Dr. Chris Eberlein is a member of the La Crosse County Heroin Task Force, and he's an emergency medicine physician with Gunderson Health System and medical director for EMS services in our region. Keith Leese is chair of the Heroin Task Force and executive director of Cooley Council on Addictions. And Emily Ladone is also a member of the task force and a recovering heroin addict. Thank you all for sharing your experiences and your stories today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at WPR.org/newsmakers. There, you'll also find a link to the draft recommendations made by the Heroin Task Force. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.